Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
A lot of warmth there for John Lydon. Surprise warmth, I would say. What a lovely man John Lydon is, one texter says. So different from his public persona. What a beautiful description of life, caring for his wife with dementia, the love and the dignity of it. Emma's not surprised, though, because a few years ago, she says, I spotted John Lydon in a park in Fulham, literally smelling the roses. It was very un-Johnny Rotten, but a delightful image. And I'll just read you one more. Someone just says, what a gorgeous soul. And I'm joined now by another gorgeous soul, singer, theologian and interfaith minister, Noreen Irene. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Brendan.
Noreen, we're going to talk today about how to divorce well, because you did divorce well and you now perform divorce ceremonies for other people. So it's actually 30 years now since the divorce referendum passed. And obviously before that, people couldn't get divorced. But I think a lot of people wouldn't have, even if the option had been there. Mm. I think your own parents, like, they weren't particularly happy in their marriage, were they? But would they have ever thought of getting a divorce?
No, Brendan. First of all, I must say, I think it's so pertinent that you are bringing up this subject today. Because, as we know, Ireland, the society has changed completely now. And so we cannot talk anymore about straight relationships. We have to talk about gay, lesbian relationships too. We're now living an awful lot longer. And so if you are in a relationship that is 50 or 60 years old, you're blessed. But so many people aren't, because it's so difficult to grow together for that length of time. So I think it's so pertinent that you're bringing this up at this time. And, you know, because of course divorce at any time is the most painful, excruciating experience, Brendan. It's hell on earth. It's crucifixion, you know, it's the valley of tears. And there's no easy way through divorce.
Yeah. No. And look, nobody starts intending to ever be divorced. It's always forever and ever. When you met your late husband, the well-known musician Mihála Sulivan, and you met him in UCC, you were married at 22, a child bride. And then you were kind of this golden couple, weren't you?
Absolutely. And we adored one another, Brendan, when we met. We met the first day when Mick came to UCC at 18, the age of 18. Yeah. And we did everything together. Then we got married and we were waiting for Owen for 7 years, our first son. But over that time, then we had musical groups and we went off to live in the Gaeltacht to learn Irish. It was a wonderful time. And we'd often, every morning actually, we'd say, how's our marriage going?
And would you? Yeah,
we would. Yeah. We were very, very close to one another.
And what happened then?
I think a lot had to do actually with when I started travelling and performing myself around the age of 35. That suddenly I became sort of more independent, and our closeness then started fading into the mists at that stage. But we always kept a very close connection and we knew it. And we were always adamant that our separation, we had a legal separation, first of all, that we wouldn't go to the court.
Okay. I presume having grown up, seeing your parents kind of unhappy and everything, you were determined to that the boys would not be affected by anything going on between you and Mihála, yeah?
So important, Brendan, to take children into account there, that they mustn't see, they mustn't be pawns, of course, in your relationship either. You can't use them, which I suppose in my own case probably was the case.
Were you kind of weaponized in your parents' marriage, yeah?
You see, my older siblings had gone to boarding school, and so I was left between 7 and 12 with a very unhappy couple, really. My father was a lovely, soft man, and all he wanted was affection, really. My mother was colder. And then I was kind of caught between them. And what I used to do, Brendan, was I was a singer, of course, and I was learning singing at the time, and I'd learn new songs, and I'd say, come on now, Madda, I have a new song to sing for you. And I'd get the two of them in there, and that would be the time that they'd connect.
So you took on the whole job yourself as a small child.
Yeah, of course you don't realise.
To make everything okay.
Yeah, you don't realise when you're doing that at the time. But certainly it does affect you in relationships and in bringing up children, of course.
Yeah.
And it's so important, particularly when children are very small. Now, ours weren't. They were 18 and 14.
And Camir, did you manage to keep the separation amicable? Which I think, again, everybody sets out with that intention, but it doesn't always work that way. How did you manage things like dividing the assets and custody and all that kind of thing?
Very well, really, because when I'm looking back on it now, of course, nothing was easy then, Brendan. But, you know, you have to get solicitors, of course, and we had very good solicitors. And then the other thing which I had was my brother, who walked me through. I couldn't have done that. And he's walked me through all my life, actually. I'm very close to my brother. And so he would go and he'd talk to Mick, because Mick was very fond of him.
Okay.
You see, that's the thing about marriage too, Brendan. It's not about two people. It's about two families.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you can keep that closeness of families, that's very important.
And so my brother. Did you keep your closeness with Michal as well? You stayed friends?
Yeah, all the time. And we would, there was no Christmas that we spent apart, no Christmas day that we spent apart, right up to his death.
Really?
And then any time, big times in my life when I was graduating and when I was being ordained, of course, Michal was there. And I was there too for his wedding and any time. So we were always there for family occasions.
And you were kind of ended up being good friends with his second wife, didn't
Helen
you?
Helen Phelan, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
God, wasn't she all very mature now?
You see, two wrongs don't make a right, Brendan. Yeah. So you have to do the very, very best you can to maintain a civil, what the legal people will call a civil relationship. And, you know, I would be advising people, if they can at all, to avoid the courts. That should be the very, very last resort.
You and get the feeling that everyone's a loser in these situations sometimes, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you can too, to keep questioning yourself, you know, do I really want this? Will I think about myself in 20 years' time? Will I want that? Will I want this separation? Will I want this divorce?
Yeah.
So to keep asking yourself and, of course, listening to the other. I think that's, we were always in deep conversation, Mick and myself. We were always into poetry and into reading about other people, you know.
OK, so you were very open and honest about your feelings with each other, even through the difficult times. OK, that's
and I think you have to be.
It's a good bit of advice.
Yeah.
Come here. So you ultimately got a divorce and you said there earlier, crucifixion. How did you feel in the aftermath of the divorce? Are you on the floor, yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But then, you see, your hopes are gone, Brendan. Your dreams are gone. They've gone out the door, wherever they've gone to. But they do come back. They do come back. There is light at the end of the tunnel. That hope does come back.
How did you build yourself back up again?
I suppose through prayer for me was very, very strong. And a belief that this was meant to be. And I'd be saying that to people too, you know. You're looking at it now and maybe you're going through that hell. But know that you're going to be a better person for it. That your marriage was meant to be. And then, of course, I think what's vital too is when you have children with somebody, Brendan, you can never deny that friendship, that love, that connection, that bond. You've had somebody's seed within you, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember saying to, I dream about Michal all the time. And I remember saying to a very wise friend of mine, a Jungian analyst one time, why do I dream about Mick? And he said, why wouldn't you? You're the father of his children.
He's the father of your children. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we have about 5 minutes left and you have tips for people who are maybe starting to see cracks in their own relationships and starting to think that things might be falling apart. Mm-hmm. Your first thing is acknowledge the situation.
Speak it out there.
Right. Yeah.
And speak it out. Let's say it's like separation can be for so many reasons. It can be lack of communication, an affair, of course, another relationship. It can be physical activity has diminished or whatever.
Mm.
But to speak that out. And of course, if it's the very, very hazardous situation of abuse or alcohol, go and talk to somebody.
Okay.
But to keep that there and to listen to one another, you know, and not to be moaning all the time. I think that's very important too.
Okay. Number two, be patient.
This too shall pass.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can say that, more times you can't. but just to be patient and to remember that little phrase, this too shall pass.
Number three, lose your ego.
Ego stands for, the three little words, E-G-O, stand for edging God out. And so once you become obsessed yourself and angry, of course, try, and I always say that to my couples, try, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let anger be an overnight guest. Don't let anger be a sleepover.
Okay. Next, don't blame the other person. And of course, blame it. We all naturally jump to blame in so many situations, don't we?
There are, they always say there's two sides to every story. I think there are three sides in a marriage. There's the two sides of the couple. And then there's the third, which is the truth. And that is one that is without shame. And so no regret, no shame. There's nothing, there's no right, there's no wrong in divorce.
Okay.
There's no shame either.
Okay. And mind the kids, we've kind of covered. And then your final one, know there is hope.
No, there is hope. And to realise, as I say, that this marriage, you were meant to do this and you are now meant to go your separate ways. And no, because I have a great belief in that destiny, that fate has destined for each.
Even if you don't, acceptance is the superpower, isn't it? Like, there's no point fighting with reality. Like, you're only hurting yourself, aren't you? What about learning to be in relationships again after divorce, trusting yourself, trusting people again, loving someone again. Is it difficult?
A very big one, Brendan.
Were you able to do it?
Yes, relationships, but I would not enter into marriage again. I was married to the love of my life. And so marriage is a very different contract. And as I say, it's the one that you've had your children with. And that is supreme. So I'll never have children with anybody else. And
yeah, so that Michal is set apart above anything else that might have happened in your
but
life.
But that is not to say that after divorce, that there isn't physicality, that there aren't relationships, and that there isn't hope, and that there's a new life there. And certainly for me, there was a whole new beginning.
Okay. Tell me just before you go, what do your divorce ceremonies look like?
They're all different, as wedding ceremonies are different. But you know what I love is when I'm asked to do ceremonies for gay and lesbians.
Yeah.
Because they are so full of life. And I suppose it's because they've had to struggle so much to be accepted. And so every couple is different. So it depends very much what you want, Brendan. You come to me and you say, and I'm there merely to be the glue. And
a
to
ritual
stand beside
in
you.
Some way helps people to closure and move on, is it?
Ritual is the essence of life. Ritual helps in every situation. You know, we've learned that from every tribe on the planet, that when you commend something to a ritual, you're commending it to a higher force. And that too is allowing for a closure.
Yeah. And listen, isn't an intentional ritual that you control yourself much better than the ritual of a bitter court battle? OK, fantastic. Noreen, thank you very much. We'll take a break.